speaker's practice. The Friday Forum is for business people. I interview business professionals on all sorts of topics. There are now so many really constructive ways to promote businesses by speaking that this is such a valuable marketing tool. Presenting to groups speaks to a number of people. Video marketing is becoming really important. Information products create extra income. Online training is the new training ground. Podcasts, radio, television, webinars, hangouts, and the list goes on. The aim is that this forum is to give ideas and practical ways that you can use to promote your business. Our guest speaker today is Tim Stackpole. Tim is a media skills professional with extensive experience in television and radio. Tim is going to be giving his advice on maximizing your impact on video. Video is becoming more and more important in the way that businesses market their business. I was speaking to a Gen Y friend recently who was quite clear she liked video included in all presentations. It seems like the future generations will be expecting video in many places. We see so much television movies that it appears straightforward until we actually stand in front of a camera. Getting that great impact and personality on video is really helps with connecting with your audience. Using a well-written script keeps the audience's attention. When you start to write it, it can be hard to know where to start. Becoming aware of some of our mannerisms is uncomfortable, but they can be obvious in front of the camera. How straightforward is it to get up and present in front of camera? Tim's going to explain. Hi, Tim.
Adrian, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, there's been lots of interest in the topic today, so we'll get started.
Okay. Well, look, I guess on the back of your introduction, you summed it up very well. We are so exposed to what I call color and movement every day. Walking through the shopping centers, we see digital signage. No longer do we just have billboards with a single static image on it. There's text and moving animations in order to what marketers call lead the eye, to draw the eye in, which is probably one of the reasons why you're a Gen Y friend. Just expect so much video in any presentation or any piece of learning that they're exposed to. But in terms of preparation, I guess is probably the big question to ask at the moment. What do you need to know? What do you need to have in hand if you're going to go into any sort of online video? Would that be right, Adrian?
Yes. Well, what do we need to do before we get in front of the camera? It's important to be prepared for this big day.
Okay. Well, I guess, you know, strategy, if we just go like one step ahead of getting ourselves on camera, that your strategy, your marketing strategy and plan is pretty important. You have to, like any sort of marketing strategy, you have to think about, even if it was just print, doing stuff with print or online, like a website, you have to ask the question, what do you want to achieve by going through this? What's your end game? What's your end result? And that helps tailor what you're actually going to do on your video. Now, what you're going to do if it's a training video is going to be very different to what you're going to do if it's an introductory video, if it's the first thing that people see when they first come in contact with you, maybe hit the front page of your website, something like that. So, and it makes sense. You have to understand, you know, what your strategy is for doing this, and it's going to change depending on what your end result wants to be. You mentioned your script. Your script has to be very important. Now, if you're doing a training video, you have to make sure that you dot the I's and cross the T's. Make sure that your piece of training is actually going to achieve the result that the viewer is expecting. They're going to learn and know how to do something at the end of watching your video. Now, that could be quite a comprehensive video and quite a comprehensive script. Most people these days that come to me, they want to do an introductory video and they just want some coaching as to how they should present themselves. Yeah. I've looked at some statistics and they kind of say that you lose half of your audience after 90 seconds of an online video, because people are very quick to click on that mouse to something that might be more interesting. So you've really got to engage your audience in the first few seconds. And for that reason, I say to people, if you've got an introductory video, 90 seconds is a good duration. Less than 90 seconds is even better. 2 minutes and pretty much no one's watching by the time they get to the 120th second. So first of all, you've got to be able to really succinctly get your message across. A lot of people, I think, fall into the thinking that you have to build your story. You have to kind of start with a tease and then end with a bang. Now, that can be very true in certain circumstances, but people who are clicking on your website, wanting to see your introduction and learn a bit more about you, need to get to the message very quickly. They want to actually find out whether what they're going to watch is going to be of interest to them. So you actually have to start with a big bang. It's what people in newsrooms call the inverse pyramid. So you actually start with your big message and then you taper down to a more minimum message. And press releases for the last 50 years have been written that way. And your video should work the same way. Your introductory video, I should say, should work the same way. So in working on your script, get to your message quickly, because you're going to lose that audience if they think you're waffling on and you're just trying to do a sell. You're trying to lead them into a call to action. Get your message across first up. So in your script writing, try and start with your big message, what you're going to achieve for these people. Separate to that sort of strategy, your technology has to be in place. And you've got to make sure that you've got a good camera to record with. Most webcams these days aren't too bad if they're recording straight into a computer. They tout them as being high definition. They're kind of not really, because the lenses on them are so small. You can't have a high definition lens which is only like 2 millimeters across. That's impossible. But a decent webcam, good sound, using a microphone that you either clip onto your lapel or to your shirt where your buttons go. Think about what you're going to have in the background as well. You don't want it to be too dominating. I tend to use very plain backgrounds for videos. Sometimes I might put a company logo over the person's shoulder who's speaking, but otherwise not too many distractions, especially if it's just an introductory video. If perhaps you're working, you're a manufacturer, you're working in a factory, and you think that actually having a view of the factory going hammer and tongs behind you might be worthwhile doing, well, that's probably not a bad idea. But it still comes down to the actual circumstances of what you're selling. Maybe sitting at your desk if you're an accountant or a lawyer, that would be okay as well, but not too many distractions in the background. Okay. I wouldn't necessarily go and do it out in the park because it's a beautiful vista and people are more interested in probably working out where that is that you've shot this rather than what the message is coming out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. So good sound, good background, not too much backlight. This is a thing that probably a lot of first starters get wrong. If you have a lot of backlight, that is if the image behind you is brighter than your own face, then you're going to look very dark on camera. People are not going to be able to see what you look like. So not too much backlight. And by the same token, on the other side, don't overexpose your face. So don't be sitting right in front of a window and having too much light on your face. And I guess the other thing you might want, Adrian, is an auto cue, something on the screen that you can read. If you're using your webcam, you can put some words up on the screen right underneath your lens, to be able to read your script if you don't know it off by heart. So they're probably the preparations I would list as my top priority when doing a video or coaching someone through a video.
Well, 90 seconds doesn't seem that long. It's got to be really fine-tuned.
Absolutely. Look, I say to people, and even with the publicity work that I do, I use the example of Twitter. Now, I think on Twitter you can run video of up to 7 seconds. Now, that's even shorter. But I always like people to, if you had to express your message in a single tweet, which in the original days was like 140 characters, you've really got to hone down your message. Now, remember, for the 90 seconds, we're only talking about an introductory video.
Yes.
Okay, this is just something for people to get the first impression about you, build a level of trust. Do you look competent? Do you sound competent? All those sorts of things. Yeah. So that's what the 90 seconds is about. As I say, if it's educational, that's a different thing. Then you create a whole series of videos and chapters, a much longer process. Yeah. But for most people who just want a video that they have on the front page of their website as a way of introducing them, a way of introducing customers to their service, then any more than 90 seconds, you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
You know, and think about how long people spend looking at a brochure. You receive a brochure, you don't study it for 5 or 10 minutes. That just doesn't happen.
No.
People flick through the brochure, look at the pictures, look at the dot points, and then make their decision. It's that quick. It can be 15 seconds.
Yes.
So we kind of translate across that to any marketing medium. This is why on TV and radio we have 15-second and 30-second commercials. That's all it really takes. That's as long as you will retain the listener's or the viewer's attention for.
Really get your message across straight away. Okay. So what is it about presenting to camera, and why is it different to speaking in front of groups of people?
Anyone who's done some acting will know there's different modalities of acting depending on what medium you're using. Someone who acts on stage will behave very differently if they're acting on film or television. And the same thing goes for being a presenter. Let's talk about on stage, because I guess a few people listening have probably had that experience, or even just talking to a group of 5 or 10 people.
Yeah.
You've got your whole body language, first of all, that you can use when you're presenting live in front of people.
Yeah.
If it's a big crowd, you need to use big gestures so the people at the back of the room are able to understand the point that you're trying to make. So you use bigger hand gestures. You might open your arms wide to make a big point. You walk from one end of the stage to the other to connect with all the people who are in the room, all those sorts of things. If you do that on camera, it's going to look ridiculous. It's going to look like you're behaving like a clown, waving your hands about or moving your head about or looking back and forth. On stage, you use a big voice as well, and you can react to the room. You can kind of get a feeling of what the audience are warming to.
Yes.
and things that you're not. Like, you know, a lot of people open their presentations with some type of lighthearted story or a joke or something like that, and that helps you gauge the reaction of the audience. Now, you can't do that when you're pre-recording a piece for someone to watch on their computer screen.
Right.
You just can't get a reaction back from them. So these are the things that you have to be aware of. Now, how do you deal with those sorts of things? Any sort of gesture that you make on camera only needs to be small.
Right.
A television actor will tell you that they can change the mood of a whole scene just by lifting an eyebrow or squinting their eyes or something like that.
Goodness.
If they do that on stage, of course, the audience aren't going to see it. They're too far away.
Mm.
But you can really turn an audience's feelings towards you just by facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important when you're doing a piece to camera to maintain your eye line or your gaze to the lens all the time. If you start looking away while you're giving a presentation to the camera, people watching immediately wonder what's more interesting that you're looking at rather than what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
So if I looked away from the lens, people would think, what's more interesting over there that's distracting him, rather than listening to my message. And remember, we don't have long to keep these people's attention, so we can't afford any distractions like that.
Yeah.
Now, seasoned television presenters can use the look away, as we call it, as a method of punctuation.
Right.
Okay? So any sort of rules that I'm giving in this presentation now can all be broken, but the circumstance has to be right and your performance. You need to be quite experienced to be able to pull the look away off, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So for people starting out, I would suggest that you maintain your gaze to the lens all the time. Sometimes we do tend to look away from people when we're talking to them, when we're trying to find words or thoughts or ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that can help to appear spontaneous on camera doing that. But really it takes a good actor or a good presenter to be able to pull that off. So in the first instance, maintain your gaze to camera.
Okay.
Small gestures can work, a little lift of the eyebrow. I like a little bit of a happy face when I'm doing presentations on camera. So I have I generally plant a smile on my face all the time, unless I have to make a strong point. Of course, if I'm doing, you know, fundraising for a cancer children's charity, then there has to be a certain amount of gravitas about the message.
Yes.
But perhaps towards the end of the message, when I talk about how terrific a person's contribution would be and the difference it would make to a sick child's life, then of course I would turn that into a smile at the end.
Yeah.
So those little things work. So even though you've worked on your script to make that work and get the message across, you've even got to think about how you're going to act in this presentation, what gestures, what facial expressions you can use in order to help cement your message.
Okay.
Don't wander around. we both had experiences where we've been coaching presenters who are used to doing platforming, what gets called platforming, so people that present in front of classes or in lectures and they walk back and forth in order to connect with their students, and then you put them on camera and they can't do their piece because they're so used to wandering around and using their hands. Yes. And you and I have experience of actually putting someone on a chair to hold them still. and that's the only way we could get them to sit still.
Yes.
I don't like putting people on a chair because I think if you're on your feet, there's a greater sense of urgency. And that carries through in your message when you're presenting. Yeah. So even if people watching can't tell if you're on a chair or standing, having the person giving the presentation standing, even though they're on camera, does create a sense of urgency in their presentation. It just kind of happens subconsciously.
Yeah.
So I like people to stand. And the other thing is when you're doing presentations online or on camera or even podcasts, on stage you have to use the big voice in order to draw people in. However, on camera, you can use sometimes even come down to what's called the half voice. And that's the kind of voice that radio presenters use in order to create intimacy with their audience. It sounds like they're almost 4 inches away from your ear. Mm. And the half voice is a good thing to think about when you're starting a presentation. I don't have to start off big because I'm not talking to an audience, which is in a huge hall, so I can reach the back of the room. And right now, it sounds as though I'm shouting because I actually am. But if I just have a single conversation with you, it's more one-on-one. It's more intimate. And the other thing that's important when presenting on camera is only think about connecting with one single person, having a conversation with just one person. And it is actually like that when someone clicks on your video. It's a one-on-one experience. So it's not a mass market medium. It's a person-to-person medium. So speak on camera as if you were just having a conversation with one single person. And I'll tell you what, if you can connect with one single person, you'll connect with every single person who happens to be watching that video, whether they're doing it collaboratively or whether they're actually just watching individually. So rather than thinking about speaking to a room, you're speaking to one person.
One person, because when we're giving a presentation in front of a camera, when we're looking at the video at the other end, it only looks like they're speaking to us.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone wants that single, individual, intimate relationship with the speaker. Look, this all builds trust. If I'm watching a presentation and I think this guy or this woman is actually talking to 100,000 people, I don't connect with them. You know, what message have they got which is relevant to me as an individual? That's what I want to know. But if they speak to me in a more intimate fashion, a more one-on-one fashion, then, of course, I'm going to connect better with them. That's just human nature. And if I feel a personal connection with that person, well, it's more likely I'm going to do business with them.
So it's really important for us to have considered about our target market and about who we're actually speaking to when we prepare these videos.
Absolutely. And anyone who works in media will say, well, who's our market? Is it the over 55s? Is it the 18 to 35s? Is it the Gen Ys or the Gen Mes, as they're getting called now, the next generation coming through? And it's tough to, you know, if you want to try and hit a big market, and marketers will tell you this, if you try and hit anyone, you're actually going to connect with, if you try and hit everyone, you're actually going to connect with no one. Yeah. So at some point you have to make the tough decision, which is who are the people who are actually going to benefit my business? Mm-hmm. Who are the people that are going to want to do business with me? Not the peripheral people, not the people who might be nice to be able to harvest, if you like, but who are the real core market who are going to contribute the most to my business? And they're the people to make the message for.
Great. Okay. So what can we do to maximize our impact in front of the camera and build this connection with our audience?
The first thing probably I would say is you, of course, have to build a rapport and create trust. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a pretentious presentation method, and people sometimes just fall into this straight away, that you put them in front of a camera and all of a sudden they stiffen up and they feel they have to put on their presenter face, or they have to be the presenter, Adrian, rather than the trainer, Adrian. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's almost like they have a personality transplant and they become this different person and they're a deer in the headlights and all of a sudden all the focus is on them. So my first piece of advice is to be yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't change your personality. Don't feel that because you're on camera you actually have to present yourself differently. There's things you might have to tidy up in order to connect with your audience a little bit better, but don't try and have a personality transplant. Don't try and be like you think a person on TV should be like. And there's another good reason for this, Adrian, and that is because all of us have individual DNA. All of us are very unique, even identical twins. We all have a unique structure about us. And for that reason, that's our unique selling point. That's our point of difference. Mm-hmm. No one else can match who we are as individuals. So why try and homogenize ourselves to look like a television presenter, you know, on our video? If our audience trust us and see no pretentiousness about us and see no facade of a presenter, but actually see the real person behind the business, then they're going to trust us more quickly straight away. I call this relationship selling. There's no secret about it. It's not like you're pounding people with commercial messages relentlessly, hoping that they will make a purchase of your product. Mm-hmm. If they form a relationship with you, there's immediate trust, and therefore they will buy off you. Yes. Okay, they will be confident in what you are saying. And you can't do that if you're not yourself. Okay, if part of your heart and soul isn't being presented to the audience. So if you have an expectation you have to be a presenter, it's going to make you stiff and pretentious, and that leads to mistrust. Okay, if I'm watching you, I'm thinking, what's this guy hiding? Why isn't he being himself? Why is he behaving that way? Why has he got this presentation persona about him? And most people who aren't presenters actually don't do it well, so they kind of look odd. Yeah. You know, it's like this person isn't comfortable where they are. Are they not comfortable with the message they're telling me? Do they not trust their product? Are they trying to pull the wool over my eyes? Yeah. Therefore, I don't trust them. So be yourself when you're on camera. That's probably the most important thing.
I had a product that I needed, and I Googled the product, and up came the video, and I had a look at Vince. And he talked on the video, and then mm-hmm. I rang him and had a chat. And then I went into his showroom and met him, and it all worked. And so the opening video really made Vince – I got to know Vince.
And that's exactly what works. And, I mean, the video is a great selling tool, as you said earlier, because if your customer or your client takes the next step to getting in touch with you, then they're already sold. The video has already sold them in the first instance. So all you need to do then is tailor the service that they're wanting and get them to sign on the dotted line.
That's, why it's so important now.
Yeah. Just some other practical tips there, some ideas to assist with presenting to camera. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I'm doing a piece to camera and I'm not feeling confident about what I'm doing for whatever reason, I might have some other distractions in my life at the time, or perhaps I've been called in late to the shoot and someone's wanting me to present on their behalf. If the camera angle is only my head and shoulders, I take on a superhero stance with my feet. And that is, I stand with my feet further apart and very much anchored and planted to the floor or to the ground. Right. Now, if it was a wide shot with my feet in it, I wouldn't do that because you just look like a complete idiot. But I'll really connect myself with the ground, plant my feet apart, you know, almost like a martial arts stance with my feet.
Yeah.
And I just feel more secure and more confident by doing that. Mm-hmm. As I say, if it was a head to feet shot, I wouldn't do it. I'd stand with my feet together. But sometimes you get more confidence if you just put your feet a little bit apart. Yeah. One other thing is having the full front of your body facing the camera can be a little bit intimidating for you if you're not a experienced presenter. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what I do as well is turn my shoulder into the camera. Mm-hmm. So I'll stand perhaps with my hips and my shoulder a bit more towards the camera, turn towards the camera, and then I turn my head. So it's almost, not quite, but almost as if I'm looking parallel with my shoulder to the camera. Mm-hmm. And this can sometimes help your delivery as well, because you don't feel so intimidated, so vulnerable to the face of the camera, because your body is not facing the camera. And sometimes this connects well with the audience. You may see some TV commercials where the presenter actually has their shoulder to camera, and that can help you connect with the audience too. All of these things, as I say to everyone I'm coaching, some tips will work for you, some won't. Okay, so you've got to use what works for you. And the other thing is keep to the point. Yeah. Keep to the point. Remember the audience can click away, as I said earlier, so quickly.
Yes.
So it's like the old what the TV executives worry about so much, that remote control, that channel surfing can happen so quickly. If the show becomes boring on a computer, it is a whole lot quicker. And depending how you host your video, sometimes you can actually get statistics on how long it was that someone stuck with your video before they clicked away. And when you see those statistics, that really drives home how important it is to get your message out quickly and at the head of the video.
Okay. Well, thanks, Tim. Now, for all our guests, I asked them this question. So, as a media skills trainer yourself and a professional speaker, what is your advice about promoting your business by speaking?
You definitely have to have an air of confidence. You have to know your product that you're going to talk about. And I guess the easiest way to actually have confidence in your subject matter is to know your product. If you know your product back to front, you can talk about it for a very long time, all the different facets of it. So having that confidence generates trust. And trust, of course, means it's more likely that you're going to get a sale out of whatever it is you're selling. If you are second-guessing yourself, if you don't have faith in what you're selling, then that is going to actually translate to the audience who are watching. It's taken as a given, I think, in business that, say, for instance, if you supply picture frames, you're a very good supplier of picture frames. There's no point in going into a business if you're not very good at what you do. So it's taken as a given that you can actually supply picture frames. Now, the trick is to make sure that people come to you to get their picture frames rather than somebody else. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have to be confident about the product that you're selling. And being a good speaker and being able to express yourself and therefore generating trust in the market means that people are probably more likely to come to you because you present your product so well and you generate trust rather than going somewhere else to pick up their picture frames, as an example. Yeah. So this is why speaking and presenting is so important. If you second guess yourself, if you're mumbling your way through your presentation, if you actually don't know how to emotively connect your product to the audience through your speaking, then you're dead in the water. You should be doing something else. Maybe you should be selling plastic bags. Know what I mean?
Yes.
So you've really got to indulge your love of the product on your audience. And to do that, I guess, and we know people who love a subject love talking about it. We're kind of the same, you know, if anyone has kids, we love talking about our children and sharing these experiences with other people. Well, it's the same with your product. Your product is your baby. And if you can present it well and share the enthusiasm and the love you have for it, then that's going to be infectious. And if your market is sensitive to what you're selling, that is, it's relevant to them, then they will connect with you.
Great. Okay. Well, there's some great advice there. Now, our final slide is on the effective on-camera presenting workshop. And I just thought you might like to spend a couple of minutes going through that program and how it's handled.
Sure. Well, these workshops, which, you know, Adrian has to take a lot of credit for, because she found a market need for perhaps a one-day course where we go through from script to on-camera presentation and following the process and the procedure all the way from start to finish. So our clients on the day come with a script, what they want to talk about, and then we talk about the opportunities that are available with using video online. Many of the things we talked about today actually are covered in more detail, but more specifically tailored to the individual's business. We've talked broadly today, but on these effective workshops, we actually understand the individual's business and tailor their presentation to that. And then after we go through all of that and we refine their scripts, then we spend a little bit of time in front of the camera doing some rehearsals, doing various takes on their pieces and really trying to refine their presentation method. A lot of people have difficulty with blinking too much. People look off camera too much. So we go through, finalize their video, finalize their script, and then hopefully by the end of the day, they actually come away with a piece of video which is effective enough for them to use on their website.
Yep, sounds fantastic. Well, we'll put the dates up on the website and thank you. So, Tim, thanks so much for your time and expertise. It's been fascinating to hear your approaches and now we've got to go and put those that advice into practice.
Yeah, and good luck to everybody as well. And of course, there's plenty of online resources that can help you with this thing as well. But there's nothing beats one-on-one coaching if you get the opportunity to do that.
Absolutely, yes. Our next Friday Forum is on Friday, the 6th of December with Julie Ashton. Julie is head coach and lead trainer of Dynamic Business Coach. Julie runs dynamic workshops that combine learning with real-life adaptation through self-awareness, practical tips, and fun. In short, Julie keeps it real. Julie is speaking on how to prepare your business for the new year. I want to leave you with this quote. Surround yourself with top achievers, with people that are focused and driven to accomplish more, to experience more, and to do more with their lives. Have a great fortnight. Look forward to having you join us at our next Friday Forum on the 6th of December. Thanks for attending.